Well, today we get the very stark rendering of Jesus' message as he's going out in his initial preaching around the territory of Galilee. And it really has four parts to it. Of course, this is a really brief, condensed summary. Jesus expanded it more, but essentially the four parts are these. The kairos, that is the time of fulfillment, has come. In other words, this is a big deal, but I'll talk about that in a moment. Number two, and then he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Whoa, almost sounds like the parousia is coming. Number three, repent. And number four, believe in the good news, the gospel, the good news. So let's just go through what Jesus is telling these people, right? Remember, Jesus is a relatively new figure on the scene. They really have heard about him slightly, but essentially it's right after the arrest of John. Jesus is coming. People are bewildered, obviously, by the arrest of John because it's pretty clear he's not the Messiah. And then Jesus comes and he says, he doesn't say, what he says is that the time of fulfillment is here. Now that could mean one of two things only. Either the Messiah has arrived or the parousia has arrived. And, you know, that's the end time has arrived, the coming of the new Jerusalem. And the two might be coincident in the minds of these people, right? The Messiah might bring the new Jerusalem, the parousia. But one thing is clear. This is a big announcement. The kairos is a very big deal. The time of fulfillment is an exceedingly big deal. And so people are probably thinking to themselves as Jesus is coming along making this announcement, well, then who is the Messiah? And of course, Jesus doesn't say, it's me yet. But there's a big hint. And of course, then the next thing is he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. So people are thinking, wow, not only has the Messiah come, but really the kingdom of God is coming too. Well, that must mean that it's the parousia. It must mean it's the end time. It must mean the beginning of the new Jerusalem. Of course, Jesus does mean that it is the beginning of the new Jerusalem, but it's not a new Jerusalem in the way they think it's a new Jerusalem. And he's bringing the kingdom of God to earth first, so that we can get to the kingdom of God, and that will lead us to the ultimate kingdom of God. So he's trying to say, the kingdom of God is coming here. And of course, people are thinking, how's the kingdom of God coming here? That's what it means. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's coming here. And of course, they're thinking, how is this possible? Of course, the answer is, it's coming through Jesus. And he's going to make that very clear as he begins this ministry of exorcisms, casting out Satan, as he begins this ministry of healing, right? He's going to make that very, very clear. And then, of course, there's the third part of the message, repent. So John has already talked about repentance, right? Metanoia, turn your lives around. Move away from the darkness, move into the light. Move away from sinfulness, move toward the grace of God. So Jesus is basically saying something very similar to what they've heard John say, but Jesus adds something else. And believe in the good news. John didn't talk about the good news. John didn't talk about believing this word, which is going to become so central, right? The word for belief and faith is the same, pistos in Greek, right? Is the same. And John didn't talk about, you know, believing in the good news, but Jesus is talking about believing in the good news. Well, what is the good news? Well, we know part of it, that the kingdom of God is at hand. We know part of it, that the time of fulfillment is here. But what else is the good news? Jesus, at this moment, does not explain it. But it's going to become very clear that the good news is that God is unconditional love, that love is the highest virtue, And God's heart reflects it. And therefore, we can have justification when we call upon His mercy, when we call upon His love. God is like, as I said, the father of the prodigal son. And life is going to be eternal, right? In Jesus' time, there's big conflict. The Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees do believe in the resurrection. Jesus is going to cut through all that and not only say there's going to be a resurrection, there's going to be a resurrection in glory, and we're going to become like the angels. So Jesus is going to heighten this thing. That's part of the good news. And we'll have access to the resurrection because God will forgive our sins if we but try to stay on the road with Him, if we try and repent and turn our lives around, if we try and throw ourselves upon the mercy of God and do our best to stay on the road, God is going to save us. That's the good news. And of course, people don't know it all yet, but they know something's different. John never talked about the Kairos, the time of fulfillment. Now this man is talking about it. John never talked about the kingdom of God coming here. This man's talking. John never talked about the good news, but this man is talking about it, and he's talking about it in terms much greater than any other prophet has talked about it. What gives him the authority? How does he have this special knowledge? Who is this guy? Is he the Messiah? And of course, we go immediately to Jesus, choosing his disciples as apostles, and we'll see Jesus begins to build on this fourfold announcement, this revelation of this incredibly good news that is going to be ours. The relinquishment of our being in the darkness, our going into the light of eternal joy and unconditional love forever with Him, if we but throw ourselves on God's mercy and if we try to stay on the road. Amen. Pretty good news for the first gospel of the first week of the year. Amen.